we have enough helium, it seems, to have four survey of full sky. So, yeah, we hope 4 or 5 and something.
And the first survey already occupies the lead.
Yeah, because
would be possible to compete with STP, and STP is saving about 300 cluster, but Planck already has 5
clusters. So why not to make it? I don't know. The numbers are they will depend on the work on people on component separation, I guess.
Okay.
Anyway, so I will continue the basically on the same subject, talking on cosmological parameter estimation from large and small scale observations. As you see, it's done with the same people at the same place. So we've seen that as the signal is a foreground, a contaminant. We've seen also during these last days that it's a great probe for just the physics, but I will use it now just for the cosmological, as a cosmological probe. So unfortunately, I don't have any data to show you from Planck. But the only thing I can show you is the simulation of the full sky map done by Antonio da Silva and collaborators with the clay simulation. So we expect to have something like that, which is a wide parameter on the full sky quite soon, hopefully. So as a signal as a cosmological probe.
Did you see Bill Baudel?
It's not even, even noise, I guess, in the map. So you can use SF signal as a cosmological probe by looking at individual clusters or looking at the maps of timelines, meaning that you extract the SF cluster catalogs. Then you can use it as a node count, scaling variation. And the main problem of this approach is on the knowledge of the selection function and the source extraction. And as an example, this is work done in the WG5 challenge in Planck from Aaron et al. This is basically the selection function. This is actually the complete network. And you see the recovered clusters versus the simulated ones. And this is not really a smooth function as the idealized selection function as Nicola showed. And the more the tricky part is actually that there's a spread around this function depending on how you do it and the solution you use. So the knowledge of the selection function is really some problematic when using the cluster catalog. But obviously, you can use as well the power spectrum, and this has been already used in all the previous experiments that you've seen mainly yesterday. So the question raised is how to take into account this signal, both contaminant but also full of cosmological information. So I will address this question again in the Planck power spectrum context. So when you want to fit the power spectrum in CMB experiments, you need some information. Basically, you need the data on this. I put it in green because I think we will have a lot of data, obviously, with Planck and all the other experiments. There's more and more of this one, and they are better and better. We need a likelihood function. Here again, I don't think it's a real problem. Obviously, you need a Gaussian path and a non-Gaussian path if you have a small part of the sky. I will concentrate in this talk only on the Gaussian path. And then you need a theoretical spectrum, depending on cosmology, to compare your data with the cosmological model. And here, we've seen that it's really more tricky. We've seen many examples of power spectrum during the last 4 days, and they look all different. So, well, there's still work to do. And well, if I'm optimistic, I would say that we will manage quite soon to resolve all these problems. And then you need a modus operandi. I will come back on this. Some parameterization on the way you use the SZ power spectrum in your analysis. And some whatever cosmological Monte Carlo Markov chains or grading or whatever method you use to find the cosmological parameters. So we've seen that maybe I don't go back on this, but if you try to remove part of the SZ signal, you have some problem with the residual. If you cut, it's not good enough. And if you use component separation, we've seen that there's still some bias and there's still some work to do to improve this. So basically, the approach is not removing anything and keep everything in your maps and in your forest spectrum, meaning that you fit your observed forest spectrum with a path which is coming from the primary CMB and a path which is coming from the SZ, and here you keep the total SZ signal. So you remove the problem of having a selection function if you keep everything. This is basically what has been done in our experiments and also in the combined analysis of the different small scale experiments. So the problem is that you want a theoretical power spectrum that depends on cosmology. So you have different ways of doing this. You can do it analytically. You can do it with numerical explanation. And we've seen also a mixed approach by Schubert on Monday. So I will just say a few words because I'm not a specialist at all on numerical simulations. But I'm really impressed of what I've seen during these few days. The simulations are better and better, putting a lot of physics in it, which is really great. Obviously, there's still the problem of whatever resolution, but here again, we're having larger and larger boxes, so we are not anymore limited at large scales by this. Smoothing length as well, it's smoothing the small scales. Again, with time, we'll have more and more resolution in the simulation. And the gas physics, we've seen that we can put a lot of effects now. It's also the drawback, meaning that we've seen that depending the cooling, the feedback you put, you basically end up with a different power spectrum. But again, I was really impressed that all the work I've seen in here. So I think that we will manage to deal with this soon, I guess. Let's see. Just an example of this problem of cooling and feedback, etc., taken from the CLEAR simulation. This is basically in blue, dark blue and light blue, you have two power spectra with or without preheating in the simulation. And the dotted line is basically the spread of all the cooling or whatever physics they put in the simulation. So the analytical modeling, again, we've seen this formula quite often this week. Basically, it's a natural approach as well because you have the full cosmological parameter dependency through the volume and the mass function and the y. What I used in the study I will show now is just a beta profile with a shared Norman mass function and integrity of the sky with this formula. So what we did for the analysis I will show is to include all this computation in a module in CAMP so that we can compute both the primary and secondary signal in the same time with the same cosmology. So to ease the use we see in Monte Carlo mass of chain approach.
Does this assume the same gas fraction all the way to higher edge?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, that's we will see that. These are the limitation of this. So then, once you have, when you're able to compute one power spectrum, you have a different way of using it. Or you model your observation with a CL total, which is the sum of the CL primary CMB plus the CLSZ analytically, so that you have the full dependency on the cosmological parameter. I will call this number 3. Or what you can do is to use your knowledge on some of the dependency of the cosmological parameters from the SZ signal. And for example, you can basically scale whatever template you have from numerical simulation or analytical model by sigma h to the 7 and omega h to the square. So in this sense, you take some of the cosmological dependency of the SZ signal, or you can just scale whatever is your preferred CL of the SZ by just a factor, an amplitude that will vary and let free in the analysis. So basically, I will compare these methods and come back on the pros and cons on each. I will start with what I call method 3, where you have the full dependency of the cosmological parameters. Basically, that's what we want. We want to use the SZ signal to get more constraints on cosmological parameters. And you can do it only if your model bears a signal with cosmological parameter dependency. And also, you want coherence between the scales. You want that the cosmological parameters you determine with large scales are the same that you have with small scales, unless there is something really weird in the cosmological model. So by doing this, this parametrization allows you to do that. So obviously, it's also less heavy than computing a numerical simulation for each cosmological parameter you want to probe. It's not so fast from a compute compared to other modern methods, and also to CMB for a spectrum, but we can work on this. And basically, the main problem, as we've seen all along, is it depends on the gas properties and cuts that you put in your modelization, in your model.
What cuts? What do you mean?
Well, if you cut at one area, the area radius or more.
Yeah. So when you say you're using beta profile, which beta are you using?
2/3.
So you see, that's too shallow. So that's why it really depends on cut. But if you use the actual profile, then it doesn't really depend on cut.
Yeah.
So I don't think that's actually a problem.
Okay.
I mean, 2/3 actually the Hampton plot is divergent, isn't it?
You can still do the Fourier transform, but it goes like 1 over L as you go to small L.
So
it never converges.
It never converges,
so it will always depend on the radius.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's not beta profile, so you don't have to worry about
it.
Method 2, as I said, it depends somehow from the cosmological parameters, but basically only the amplitude is depending on the cosmological parameter, not the shape. So if you look for cosmological parameters that change the shape, you won't see it with this method. So it's even faster to compute because you compute only one for a spectrum, like for numerical simulation or analytical modeling, and basically you scale it with the value of sigma 8 and ambiguity h2 squared. So there is no shape variation in this model. And basically, the last method is just to take one amplitude, then basically you decorate the large and small scales. So there's no more cosmological dependency. You just use this, for example, for marginalized over if you want to get rid of the LZ, but you don't, by this method, you don't use cosmological signal in the LZ. So what we did was to test these different methods in the Planck context. So we simulated a set of observed CL, including LZ signal. We choose the Planck 100 GHz noise frequencies to do that. And then we tried to retrieve the cosmological parameters with these three different methods. And finally, we studied the bias and confidence intervals on these three methods. We used Monte Carlo Markov chain approach using Cosmo NC and the CAM module that we just did with the analytical prescription of the CLs. So from now on, I had two choices. I could tell you the good news first and the bad news last. I decided to start with the bad news and go to the good news so that we finish on the optimistic So specific case, let's say that we don't know much about LZ signal. The way we translate that in our analysis is the following. We simulated data from one analytical prescription of the CLs, assuming one cosmology, one temperature, and one value of beta. And then in method 1, 2, and 3, we try to fit this simulated data, but assuming for method 1 and 2 a template which has the right cosmology but a different value of beta and the temperature. So
do you allow for different redshift dependence of T naught?
Not there.
So that's basically fixed.
Yeah.
And similar, we can fix gas fraction as well.
Yeah. I mean, this is really basic. So there is information, but not everything. So every time we try to fit the simulated data, basically we add the wrong assumption on the physics of the gas. So we translate this wrong assumption in the physics in a bad bad value of T or beta, but it could be that you take a beta model instead of whatever, or the profile, or anyway. So we tested this, the effect of this only on method 3. So we changed the temperature by 7%, and we choose a beta of 0.7 and 0.8 instead of the simulated data which has been made with 0.6, 2/3. So basically what you try to do is fit some power spectrum of fake data which are drawn from the black curve with some theoretical model which are all red or green. So you don't see much of a difference, but the shape is different and the amplitude is different anyway. So this is a result in terms of 1D likelihood function coming out of Cosmo MC on the all the parameters that we varied in the same time. And this is a better way to see it focused on some parameters. So all the colors are for method 3. And in black, you have the case where you have a wrong assumption on the temperature. In blue, a wrong assumption on beta, taking 0.7, red 0.8. And in green, the exact prescription. So you see that, it's the ratio between the retrieved value of the cosmological parameter compared to the input value. So when the symbol is not on the line, basically you have a bias, and then you have the P and the error bars on each parameters. So you see that some parameters are highly biased in the different case. The more problematic is if you assume beta of 0.8 instead of 2/3, you try to start to having a bias of a few sigmas.
What is lambda?
Lambda is cosmological constant.
Omega lambda, you mean?
Yeah, omega lambda. Yeah. So you see that, well, tau is not much affected. Omega dark matter H squared is affected, sigma is highly affected, and then by degeneracy, it's all the other four.
You're so, still talking about 1% only in most of those cases?
1% of error bars, yes.
1% of the value?
Yeah, it's relative.
I'm surprised that NS is not really much affected, because I would have thought that NS is sort of very sensitive because of the long lever arm there in the power spectrum. So, do you understand this? Because in your first talk, we saw that NS was the most biased parameter. That's something I would expect maybe as well. And here, this is basically consistent. Really. It's not even biased.
Well, actually, I don't understand. I think this is the same as in the previous. It's just plotted. So
No.
No, I know, but I mean, those weren't that big percentage
wise.
They were like, it was like between 0.96 and 1.01.
But
this one, yeah.
But compared to the error bars, I think in the previous case, how NNS were the biggest, here they are smallest sometimes.
But you showed it in terms of error on the parameter. So it only was varying by like 2%, but error relative to the estimation parameter.
Yeah, still possible. Okay, you have like one sigma. One sigma. But
these are different analysis.
Yeah, exactly. In one case, we just forget that there's some signal. In here, we just have the wrong signal. So it's less. But I agree that I would expect. Well, also, yeah. So by assuming the wrong physics, basically you introduce obviously the biases. Just the comparison I put here in purple. I don't know. The bias and error bars in the case when you cut at L of 1,000, just to compare. So this is again same kind of bias that you have, but in this case you have larger error bars because you have less signal. So let's assume that we know a bit more on S and signal itself. basically we assume now that we have the good physics. But for method 1 and 2, as we need the templates, we assume that we have the wrong templates, which may be the case, because if we knew the cosmology, we didn't have to fit the cosmological parameters. So what we did is simulated the data from some set of cosmological parameters and tried to retrieve them, assuming another set of cosmological parameters with a deviation of one sigma WMAP-like thing. Obviously, method 3 shouldn't be affected because the full cosmological dependency is taken into account. In this case, you find the following. In black, you have method 1, where you just have the shape amplitude, parameter A times CL. In blue, you have the method with sigma A to the 7 omega H to the square. And here, what you see is basically you have much less bias, except from sigma A, and maybe omega D. Again, omega dark matter H squared in the method of 2. And basically, what we see is that method 2 is more biased than 1 because of the cosmological dependency, which is a good thing because you have the information there. But if you assume the wrong template, then everything goes back in this parameter that are in front to compensate the fact that you have the wrong template. And as these parameters in front are the same as in the large scales, then everything is shifted because of degeneracies in the CMB. So method 2 is more biased than 1, but it has a bit better curve bars in the opposite. And I will come back on the width of the curve bars in the next slide. So then the optimistic case, we know everything in advance, so we have the good physics and we have the good template for the method 1 and 2. So obviously we don't see any bias in any method, and what we see is just the difference in error bars in for example omega B, dark matter H squared or sigma H again or omega lambda. So again, this is obvious that the more information, the more cosmological dependency you put in your power spectrum, the better constraints you have, and that's why we did. So we just looked why, particularly on omega dark matter H squared, we have better error bars, and I tried to put this into figures. Here you have different power spectrum in black and orange, that you don't see in large scales, but you see at small scales, is the primary CMB for two sets of cosmological parameters, where only omega dark matter H squared is different, and it's different by 0.7%. So we have two power spectrum here, and we see that CMB is completely superposed, each one to each other. Here you have the same thing for the SZ, so one fiducial a lambda cosmological and one with a radiation of 4.7 and omega H squared. You have a small difference, and here you have the total sum of the two in black and red. So if I zoom on this, this is the relative difference of the models. In here, I put the CMB only. So in blue here, you have the fiducial model, and in orange, you have the CMB power spectrum in the case of 0.7 deviation in omega matter H squared. Just to see, this black line is the one sigma error on Planck for the L by L basis. And if you divide this thing by square root of 2,000, meaning that how much error you allow on each cell individually, this is the dotted line that you have here. So you see that these two models are really, really close to each other at the level of accuracy that Planck will do on the full set of CLs. And if I do the same for the total, meaning the primary plus VSZ, this time you see a huge difference between you. A difference between the two. So basically, adding the SZ signal and the cosmological information that is in the SZ, you are able to make the difference between these two models, which are different just by 0.7% in terms of omega mH squared. And that's why we want to use the SZ, is that for breaking degeneracies that are in the CMB but not in the SZ spectrum.
I don't know, it's a question. When you're doing this, are you assuming Gaussian? You assume that SZ is Gaussian?
Yeah, the error bars are just the usual formula, the cosmic variance plus noise.
But it's actually not Gaussian, right? I mean, you have a point spectrum term. The CLs are correlated beyond L of 10,000.
Yeah. So focused on the other one.
But that obviously affects.
That will affect. Yeah. But in the same time, as small scale.
This is correction, but not of the order of unity. Or you say it will be.
It's very nice. It's size of.
But for full sky.
Yeah, you have full sky and many modes.
Why does that make any difference?
Because you have many prospects.
But what you see is basically what you're seeing is the profile, right? Mm-hmm. Suppose that you have one cluster, then that will correlate all else, right?
Sure, but if you have many of them, then there's the correlation.
Still, it's calculable.
But you see that at high else, you're not dominated by the bright ones, but just lots of faint ones, right?
But still, I mean, first of all, variance is bigger than what you think for Gaussian. Now, on top of the correlation, you have LL prime correlation, then plus your error is larger because of non Gaussian.
But it's 10-20%, not more.
Yeah.
How much?
It depends on, it depends on L, right.
On L, but my impression is that in the region it is rather infinite.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
But maybe you compute it more exactly.
That's right, yeah.
It's just Poisson, though, isn't it? So it should be whatever square root of the number of clusters that compute it. So.
No, it's not only Poisson.
If it's not Gaussian, you cannot. It's because it's Poisson. So if you have few clusters that contribute, then it's much bigger because it's one over square root of a small number. So I think that's what then that's what it comes down to. We can discuss that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, calculation. So that's easy to run.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so if I set up everything, what we say that method 1 and 2, basically the scaling of the template is sensitive to the template truth, obviously. In case of just one parameter A that you basically marginalize another, when you decorate the smallest and large scales, it's less biased because all the bias goes in this extra parameter, basically. And obviously, you have less precision because you have less cosmological information in. Method 3 has better precision, but obviously, it's more sensitive to the emphasis on the gas properties. We just play with the temperature and beta, but as you say, if you change another profile or whatever. But again, you can be optimistic and say, given the people working on the on the surveys, on the theoretical work, and on the simulation, we can reduce this dependency on the gas properties. So we quantify this difference and should be out soon in tabulate that. So basically, what I've shown right now is just taking CMB and thermal SZ, but you have many layers in this thing when you observe CMB sky. We know basically how to compute CMB and predict CMB. Let's again, you can predict SZ with some limitation that we just seen. But the next step is obviously the point sources, and we've seen yesterday that it's huge effort in small scale experiments to remove these things. It plays a role in Planck as well at different levels of cluster detection and for the spectrum as well. But we can think also the fact that the point sources have cosmological information too. So this will be really a big next step if we can do that as well. So I just conclude now saying that basically it's not so easy to include the SZ and take it into account to make cosmological predictions. If you take the cosmological dependence first, obviously you have better determination on your cosmological parameters. That's why you want this signal. we've seen that it's really, really linked. The cosmology is really linked to the astrophysics, and it's you can't do one without the other, basically. We hope that this sensitivity will go down with time, because we're all walking in this direction, and the next step will be the point sources. And I will just finish with this, hopefully for May 14th, we can have something new. Thank you.
I'm trying to understand the tau parameter. I think we saw before in the previous talk, and maybe in yours, that it gives you let's say the tau and the sigma 8 are not separable. They go in the opposite direction, but the bias seems to be much stronger in one of them rather than the other one. So I'm trying to understand, why is it not affecting both of them? Isn't it all going up and down in the same way?
Yes, it should. I mean, it goes in the pure CMB. But when you consider the total power spectrum, CMB plus SZ, the degenesis are a bit different.
But I thought it happened even if you don't put it in with the cosmological, with the sigma 8 for the CMB, if you just put it as a constant for this for the SZ. I understand if you put it with a sigma 8 to the 7 or so, or then it will break the degeneracy. But even if you don't, I thought it makes... They don't go together up and down, and I'm trying to understand why.
Do you include polarization here?
Yeah.
That's it.
It's what?
Polarization breaks the degeneracy.
Oh, so you use the polarization and then.
That was maybe
not agreed, because this effect is completely not practical, completely not polarized. Polarization is practical
in
thousand
times. Why do I? That's right.
It is finite, but it is smaller. Therefore, it's possible immediately to
say that. That's right. So you can get the tau, but you know, as you measure the tau, the sigma 8, that's what happened with WMAP. The tau was, you know, sigma 8 was 0.9 in the first one because tau was very high. Then tau went down, and sigma went down. So.
I don't remember that.
But that's what I'm trying to understand. Why is the bias not going in the same direction? On tau and sigma 8.
Well, but just I mean, when you consider everything, tau doesn't play a role on the SZ parts. So you can't compensate most of the signal at really a high L where the CMB is just really down.
And it doesn't affect you. It doesn't affect the CMB on the large scales.
Well, it does. All the parameters are
changing,
but
okay. Well, yes, it's okay.
So one thing one can try, and I don't think anyone has tried this, is to look at the three-point function, because Sinner's relativity effect is highly non-Gaussian. Yeah. In the power spectrum space, you have this contamination from primordial to CMB, but in bispectrum you don't.
Yeah.
So in principle, joint constraint using bispectrum power spectrum can be potentially very powerful.
Yeah.
Easy to calculate bispectrum using error. Well, so maybe that's something.
Well, I can also see once you include all the multi frequency information, you can make a pretty good detection of the TSE like spectrum, power spectrum. You know, so the TSE.
Right.
Yeah. So the frequency dependence is so different from the CMB right now.
But that's really what the previous speaker found, but we couldn't really make it work.
Well, he was just mapping clusters.
Oh, I see. Okay, not the components. Oh, okay. I thought he was talking about components.
Well, I didn't think components, is that what that refers to?
What do you mean by components?
Yeah,
using frequency dependence to separate the components.
But yeah, I guess I didn't do that.
But at least that's the limitation as well.
Yeah, yeah, that should work also.
Yeah.
One more question?
I was going to respond to your comment, but now I can't remember what.
Well, that's a simple, that's a sure sign that we all
caught it. Come
back and a lot of cops.
No, not.